In Adam Davies' comic novel Goodbye Lemon, Jack Tennant, a 32-year-old adjunct lecturer and part-time women's shelter night supervisor, returns to a Baltimore suburb to reconnect with the wealthy WASP clan he'd cut off contact with 15 years before. The book is published by Riverhead, and it brings Adam Davies to my show today. Hello.
Hi there.
Your previous book, The Frog King, was short stories.
Actually, that was sort of a roman à clef. It was a novel of my experiences in the sort of back-scratching, backstabbing world of New York City book publishing.
Ah, so that was the real thing. This is not a roman à clef.
This is not a roman à clef, no.
Although it did take a certain amount of research. Didn't you actually have to go and visit with a family to learn about a medical condition that you write about here?
One of the pivotal plot points in this book is a condition known as locked-in syndrome, and it's an incredibly rare neurological condition.
Yeah, when I read it, I thought you'd made it up until I read that you actually had to go somewhere and meet somebody who had it.
It's incredibly rare. There's very little literature on it at all, and in fact, prior to World War II, there was really nothing. Today, a lot of that research is in French, and the absolute sum total of my recollection of all my years of high school French is the sentence, I need two tickets to the Billy Joel concert. So I had to research another way, and I did, in fact, find somebody who was afflicted with locked-in syndrome who lived in Ashland, Kentucky, the same town where Ashley Judd is from. And I sent him an email, and I asked him if I could come speak to him and his family, and he said yes.
Well, how'd you even come upon the idea of locked-in syndrome, and why afflict Jack's father with it?
Well, that's a good question. My first novel dealt heavily with endometriosis, which I just stumbled across by reading the Merck Manual. I have an affection for reading reference books, and sometimes I just stumble across something interesting.
Except endometriosis is a very common problem, I think. 1 in 8 women or something like that.
That's quite right. That's right. I stumbled across locked-in syndrome just by luck also. There's a small mention of it in the Merck Manual. There's also a wonderful little book called The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, which is by the man who is the editor of French Elle magazine. And he was locked in himself, and he wrote this book by blinking his eye. And tragically died, I believe, the day or two before publication. And I read it probably almost a decade ago, but I've never forgotten it.
Well, in this case, it also is a metaphor for the communication problems in this family.
That's exactly right. It was a very appropriate metaphorically. The hallmark of this family, which is not a surprise to many families of my demographic, well, or of any demographic, I suppose, between fathers and sons, the hallmark was a sort of a punitive silence. And the central tragedy of my character's life is the death of his older brother, which occurred when my narrator was 5.
So he really doesn't remember it.
He has no recollection whatsoever. In fact, the only artifact that he has at all anymore that reminds him that his brother ever lived was a pair of orange flip-flops. His parents threw away all the toys, threw away all the photographs, threw away everything, and never spoke a word about this deceased brother. So my narrator grows up unable to grieve. He misses his brother, but he never knew his brother in the first place.
But he also blames his father.
That's quite right. The father was supposed to be watching the brother when the brother died, and instead, my narrator believes the father was drinking.
Now, your narrator, Jack Tennant, not the most likable guy in the world, by the way.
No, he's flawed.
He has kept this secret from his girlfriend as well. So this is a secret that his family kept. He didn't have to keep it from his girlfriend.
That's right. But yet he does, which I think speaks to my fascination with the idea of inheritance, especially between fathers and sons.
Another thing that seems to be inherited in this family is alcoholism.
Yes, that's right.
Everybody has an alcohol problem. Jack did have one. He's a recovering alcoholic, but nobody else is.
That's right. That's right.
And would that be typical of a family of this sort?
Well,
I mean, you were talking about your demographic earlier.
Certainly, yeah. Most people I knew growing up came from families like this. My family certainly is not an exception to it. My father was a journalist, and as you know, that's a hard drinking crew. And it is.
And secrets can be important as well. Some journalists have even gone to jail for keeping secrets.
That's right.
I suspect your father was not one of those kinds of journalists.
Not so far. But what really inspired me to write this book was a moment that I had with him about 10 years ago. And it took me a long time to realize that I wanted to write about it. I was in grad school at the time, and I got a phone call from home. I was spending Christmas break away from home, which was, you know, usual for me. And I got a call saying that my father was ill, and he developed this very rare condition called, get ready for syllables, called Wegener's granulomatosis, and it's a blood disease, and if it's untreated after 6 weeks, it's 100% fatal. There's nothing they can do. But if it's treated within that six-week period, then recovery is pretty much assured, and my father's doctor did not understand the test results, and so he did not receive any treatment until week 5.5. When this doctor forwarded the test results to Johns Hopkins, and a doctor there, the head of rheumatology, called up my father and said, "Mr. Davies, you've got 5 minutes to get a change of clothes and a duffel bag and get down here." And I had just never really contemplated his mortality before, and I had never really thought how valuable my relationship with him was. And it turned out he wasn't the man that I thought he was, and neither was I.
And, of course, that's basically the how this novel works out. So this is based on the first book was a Romana Clay. To some degree, this book is autobiographical as well.
Yeah, you know, the first book got a lot of press for being autobiographical in ways that really mystified me. In fact, I had a reviewer in a New Zealand newspaper accuse me of being best friends with Stephen King's wife. And, you know, he implied that that was the only reason I was published in the first place. And I certainly would like to be friends with Stephen King's wife, but...
Do you visit Maine much?
No. But so the first book was much less autobiographical than people think. The second book is much more so.
At least based on the emotion. It's emotionally autobiographical.
That's exactly right.
A son who stays away because he has good reasons and then is, for one reason or another, goes back home and against his better judgment.
That's right.
In this case, Jack's mother kind of begs him to do it, and his girlfriend says we should go. His girlfriend having no idea about the family dynamic.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's certainly an emotional truth, not a factual truth. I mean, it's, I think, what Aristotle means when he talks about the feeling of the universal. I mean, the truth is that drama requires compression, but it also requires sort of an enhanced versions of things. I mean, nobody would be interested in the actual true story of my life, but I feel that the relationship between this father and this son is valuable, and I know that there are a lot of people out there who have this same confused, tragic animosity, between the father and son, and I just felt like I had to speak on it.
My guest is Adam Davies, whose latest novel is Goodbye Lemon. It is published by Riverhead Books, but it's also a funny book. Even though you have all this heavy stuff, this book can be laugh out loud funny. Was that important to you to make light of some of these really almost tragic situations?
You know, I think that's probably giving me more credit as an author than I deserve. I just write, it sounds corny, but I just wrote the story that was in my heart, and you know, the sadness that's in this family is certainly real, but there's these people love each other in a terrible, misguided, confused, passionate way. And
well, you end the chapters with a scoreboard that racks up points for each character.
That's right. Jack has sworn off his past. He's fled from it as a man from a burning building. And he's sworn never to go back, but he does. And when he returns there, he starts feeling that he's returning to his own worst self, and he starts feeling the way that he did when he was younger and powerless. And one of his perceived enemies is the house that he grew up in. And so he every time he does something bad or he feels himself slipping into that painful past, he chalks it up on his scoreboard, usually in his disfavor.
Were you tempted at any time to make Jack a little more likable?
Gosh, boy, that's a toughie.
You make a decision whether you're writing a novel or a memoir to either make the person into a surrogate for the reader or into somebody who the reader will question at times.
You know, I wasn't really tempted to make him any more likable, and the best explanation I can give for this is to quote this moment, which is my favorite moment in literature, and I discovered it when I was in ninth grade, and it is the moment in the Odyssey when Odysseus comes home, and he's in disguise, and he's able to be received into his palace as a beggar. No one knows that it's the king, and he's being washed by his maid, and his maid sees the scar in his leg, and by that scar, he's known. And the maid hails him as the king. And I thought it was such a beautiful moment because it's by his scar that Odysseus is known. And it's this wound, you know, the evidence of the things that have hurt him and he's endured that make him who he is and that make him beautiful and recognizable. And it was important to me to be truthful to the reality of the hardship and the ugliness and the woundedness that this character has. And I felt that it wouldn't be authentic to write him any other way.
I understand the next novel is about stolen art.
It is, yeah. This is another subject that's going to require a lot of research, hopefully not in French. But it's about a security guard, a very specialized form of security guard who are known as pulses. And the idea in the industry is that you can have your multi-million dollar computer system with lasers and thermosensing this and all the stuff you see in movies, but the thieves are going to bypass it. And if you're going to really secure something you want to secure, if you want to keep what's yours, you need a human in the room. You need a pulse in the room with the goods. So there's this pulse, and he's in love with this woman who turns out to be the burglar who's stealing from him the whole time.
And maybe that's what happened at the Hermitage. I don't know if you heard, but there was a major painting theft there.
Well, I'm actually more interested in the idea of cultural patrimony.
I was hoping you'd have to go to St. Petersburg to do a little research.
Well, we can talk to my publisher about that. That might be in the research budget.
Adam Davies' latest novel is called Goodbye, Lemon. It is published by Riverhead. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.